North Rock Podcast.
Hi, everybody. I am super excited that today I get to just share with you about the journey that God has me on and some things that he's put on my heart to share with you. Most of you guys already know, but in case you don't, I'm moving to Honduras in 5 weeks to be a full-time missionary. I know, I can't even say it because I get super stressed out. But I just want to take some time today to, basically, I'm going to go through some frequently asked questions of things that people are always asking me about my move to Honduras. Not that I mind when you ask me, but this way, everyone will be in the know. So two disclaimers about this message. You know it's going to be a good message when it comes with disclaimers, right? So here's number one. Number one is I am talking very personally from something that I am right in the middle of. Sometimes when we preach about things that God has done in our lives in the past or things that we know. This is something that I am right in the middle of walking through. That being said, it's pretty emotional for me to talk about it. So if I start crying, just pretend like I'm not and just listen. I'm okay. And the second thing is I am sharing testimony and a lot of stories about myself, but please know that this is not in any way to shine a spotlight on me. This really is a testimony of God and his goodness and his power. And so when you hear stories about myself, please know that they're really just God working in me and working through me. And so he deserves all of the glory, okay? All right, that being said, the first question that people always ask me is, are you excited? Are you ready? So that's my life right now. I am about to jump off of a cliff. I'm kind of at this step right here where Indiana Jones was, and I'm excited. I am, but that's kind of my secondary emotion at the moment. My first emotion is like, I really hope that there is something there for my foot to land on, but I know that God is good, and I know that he has called me to this, and so I know that as soon as I take that step, my footing will be on sure ground. So I'm going to have Audrey put up a drawing. A friend of mine drew this for me. I was actually up at Camp Wonderview in the mountains with some of our youth here about three or four, I can't remember if it was 3 or 4 years ago, but I was standing in the sanctuary just worshiping God, and my friend came over, and she said, God told me to draw you this picture. And she said, she's like, I don't really know what it means, but he said it's going to be fun. She's like, and that's you in the middle over the cliff. And I was like, okay. I don't really have a need for my adrenaline to be rushing. I'm not a daredevil. Like, I'm the kind of person on a go-kart where they have to tell me to move out of the way or go faster because people are lapping me. I'm not the kind of person who looks at this and thinks fun at all. And so she drew this for me, and I was like, okay, I don't really know what it means, but thank you so much. And so I tucked it away in my journal. And it was just this past summer when I was at the same spot in the same camp worshiping God when God was like, hey, do you remember that drawing that I had someone draw for you? And I was like, yeah, I do. And he was like, do you get it now? And I was like, oh my goodness, yes, it makes perfect sense. So this is me getting ready to jump off of a cliff, but knowing that it's going to be fun because knowing it's what God has called me to do. But the thing I love most about it is that there's people on both sides of me and that they're reaching out, holding me up. And the more that I look at this picture, the more I'm encouraged that those are the people that are in this with me. That's all of you guys praying for me. It's all of you guys that are partnering with me financially. Those of you who will be coming down and spending time in Honduras with me. And so this is kind of where God has me right now. So I am excited. I know that he has good things. But it's absolutely a leap of faith, staring down a bottomless pit. But I know that God is going to be good. So another question that I'm always asked is, how did you get to this point? How did you get to the point where you knew that you were supposed to go serve in Honduras? And so I'm going to share this. Some of you guys have heard these stories. Just listen to them again because they're an important piece of where we're going with this. But my whole life, I knew that there was something that I was supposed to do. We're in the middle of the thankfulness series, and this fits so perfectly with that because I know that God has blessed me so much, and I'm so thankful for all of the blessings in my life of an incredible family and friends and health and opportunities that some people don't even get to have throughout their whole life, and I've already gotten to have so many, and knowing that I was so blessed. But knowing that that blessing was not for my reward, none of us deserve the things that God gives us, but it was for my responsibility to use them to make God known, to use them to advance his kingdom. And so there's a specific passage in scripture If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 5. So this is right after this is the calling. Jesus is sending the 12 disciples out, and so he's already named all of who they are. And then with verse 5, he says, "These 12 just sent out with the following instructions: Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep." And so he's in there talking about all the things that he's going to have the 12 disciples doing, casting out demons, healing the lepers, doing all of these things. But then he just throws in there really quickly, and these are the words of Jesus, by the way. He throws in there really quickly, "Freely you have received, so freely give." And that's something that my whole life God has spoken over to me. So freely you have received the blessings that I have given you, and I have received so many. And the flip side of that is freely give, knowing that the things that I had were not for me, but were to give. And so I remember even as a little girl, like when missionaries would come to our church, I would just be like, oh my gosh, it's a missionary. Like their feet have touched the red sands of Africa. And just kind of feeling like I was in the presence of greatness, because I knew that to be able to do something like that, it took a deep level of a relationship with God. And that was something that I desired. I saw my whole life my parents standing on the edge of cliffs, taking big risks to be obedient to God. And so when they get really sad that I'm leaving, I remind them that it's their fault, because I watched them do that my whole life. But my whole life, I knew that there was something more than that. I knew that to be truly thankful, it would require action from me to show that thankfulness. And that is shown in generosity. And not just generosity with money, but generosity with my talents, generosity with my gifts, and generosity of my life. Like I knew when I prayed those things, like, God, my life is yours, do what you want, that I really meant those prayers. And sometimes I still get mad that God is answering it because it's uncomfortable, but I meant it when I prayed it. To whom much is given, much is required. That's another verse that always stands out to me. God has given me so much, and I know that he's calling me to another level. So for the last 16 years, I have been serving God. My own decision to follow God. I was raised in a Christian home, but about 16 years ago, it became something that I really wanted to pursue, a personal relationship with him. And that whole time, I've been serving God and doing ministry. For 10 years, I worked as a missionary in the community with a nonprofit called Goals, Inc., just serving people in our community and leading them into relationship with Christ and leading them into the resources that they needed. When that job ended, it ended really quickly, and it was so difficult because I really thought that I would have spent the rest of my life doing that. I didn't have any idea that God was going to be doing that. And so when it ended, it was so difficult for me. I was really confused as to what God was doing because he had given me such a heart for this community. I love this community. I was raised here, and it's really hard to leave it. But it was in that time, I then after that spent 10 months unemployed. I didn't even get interviews. I could not open a door to what was next. And I knew that in that time, God was asking me to rest, which is something that I've never really been good at, and to seek him for what was next. And so for 10 months, I rested, and I was like, God, what is coming next? It's going to be a doozy if I need this much rest. And so at the end, during that time, I knew that God was saying, hey, you know how when you were a little girl, you always thought I would be sending you overseas? That time is coming. And in my life as a Christian, I've traveled the world on short-term trips. And I would go and I would serve these people and I would fall in love and I would leave my heart there. And then 2 weeks later, I'd have to rip my heart out and come back home. And God was doing a lot of things in those trips when I would go, but it became more and more difficult to leave the places that he was sending me. And so he began to show me, I'm going to be sending you to a place where you're going to stay and you're going to pour out your life in that place until I send you somewhere else, but it's going to be long term. And I remember the moment when I was like, okay, God, I'll do it. Wherever it is, I'll do it. And that wasn't my first reaction, by the way. When he said that, my first reaction was like, yeah, I'll get a job where I can just go one place for a month and one place for a month and started applying for these different jobs, and it's not what God had. And I had to really surrender, okay, God, at some point, you are going to have me do this, and I want to do what you want to do. So then the opportunity comes up for me to be the missions coordinator here at North Rock and to continue to serve my community. And so for the last 3 years, I've been doing that. And as part of that, I wanted to find a place where we could take short-term teams, that we weren't just going a different place every year, but really finding one place where we could connect and make a long-term impact on a church in that country and on the people of that country, and just really be a part of what God was doing. And so in praying about that, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a missionary in Chile. And I was talking to him, telling him kind of the idea of that and what we were looking for. And I was thinking he was going to say, come to Chile. We'd love to have you. That was my plan. But instead he said, you know where you should go is Honduras. I'll put you in touch with my friend, Pastor Raphael, there. But I really think what you're describing to me would be a really good fit with what he's doing. And so I was like, well, all right, God, I'll walk through this door and see what you have. And so I began emailing Pastor Raphael, hearing his heart, hearing his vision and what he was doing. And I was able in March of 2013 to take a trip out to Honduras with three other people from the church. And our purpose in that trip was just to get to know Pastor Raphael, see what he was doing, and to see if there was any way that our church could partner with him. And that was the beginning of what I had no idea God was doing. When I meant long-term relationship, I thought like with North Rock, I didn't know it meant, you know, with me personally. But that was the first trip that I went. So since then, God has continued to open doors for me to go to Honduras. And on my fourth trip there, I was invited to go into the prison. Now, I had already heard all of these horrible things about Honduras. Don't Google it. It's not a good idea. It'll freak you out. But I had heard all of the, I had read all of these things, heard all of these things, and I get invited to go and lead worship inside the prison. Now, San Pedro Sula, Honduras, is known as the murder capital of the world. Honduras has more murders per capita than any country in the world, civilian on civilian. Just kind of a dangerous place, and here I am being invited to go into the prison in that city. Now, the prison is built for 800 prisoners, and currently there are 3,000 prisoners in there, so you can imagine how cramped and overcrowded it is. It's a place where the prisoners get 2 liters of water a day to drink, to clean, anything that they need, that's all that they get. Just these really terrible conditions. But as I'm going in there, I only found out I was going in about an hour before we went. And I think that was totally God's design, because had I actually had time to think about it, I probably wouldn't have gone in. And yeah, so we go, and there's this huge wall. It's basically just a wall around the prison. It's not like a facility, because I'm thinking prison in the context of what I know from TV and movies, orange jumpsuits, handcuffs, bars, that kind of thing. And so I was like, how bad can it be? Let's do it. And so we get there, and there's this huge wall with barbed wire and shoulder-to-shoulder machine gun-armed guards around the thing. And I was like, whoa, this is intense. And so as we're walking through the gate, the guard looks at me with this funny look like, what are you doing in here, white girl? And he said, just so you know, if you go in there, we're not coming in after you. And I was like, thank you for that. All right, so here we go. And so we went in, and it seriously was what you would picture in a horror movie. Just crowds and crowds of people, really desperate situation. All these weird smells, weird sounds. And so we're walking to where the church is inside the prison. And basically, these prisoners have just set up their own society inside. They have their own law enforcement. They have their own political system. They have this whole city that they've set up with inside the walls. And so we go to the church where there's a pastor. Now, I, again, in my ignorance, I was like, how often do you come in here and do service for the prisoners? And he was like, I'm in here for the rest of my life. I killed a bunch of people. But it was in here that I found true freedom in Christ. And I know that God is calling me to lead other people into that same freedom. And I was like, oh, okay, awesome. So we start leading worship, and out of the 3,000 prisoners, 600 of them came to worship with us that night. And when I say worship, I mean going to new levels in the presence of God that I had never experienced. These men and women, it's men and women together, were worshiping God wholeheartedly. They were dancing, they were singing, they were shouting, they were playing trumpets, they were waving flags, they were on their face, they were worshiping God. And for 3 hours, we worshiped. And at one point, I got off the stage, one, because I didn't know any more Spanish songs, and two, because I felt like the biggest hypocrite being up there leading them into worship when they were the ones leading me into worship. They know of freedom in Christ that I don't even understand yet. And I remember being down at the altar in that prison, and I had my hands up in the air, and I was just worshiping God. And there's not a part of my body that's not touching a prisoner. And I felt like God took my heart inside my chest and just twisted it. And since then, it just hasn't beat the same. And I knew, my friend actually looked at me, and he's like, "What just happened to you?" And I was like, "I don't know, but something big." And I knew that God was saying, "This is what I have for you, is to come and to be here and to serve these people." And so for months afterwards, I was like, "I'm not making any decisions based on an experience. I'm not doing any of this because this is a big deal." And so I just began to seek God. And I would get so frustrated because God wasn't answering my question. My question was, "God, am I supposed to move to Honduras and do this?" And he just spoke to me and he said, "Stop seeking my answer and start seeking my heart." And so that's what I began to do, was seek God's heart. And it was a few months after that when I knew that this is what God was doing. And I remember telling my parents first, and I remember it was actually on Christmas Eve last year, I took my brothers out to breakfast, and I was like, "I wanted you guys to be the first to know that I'm moving to Honduras." And they're like, "Duh, everyone has seen this coming." So apparently I was like the last one to know that this is what God was doing. But that was like when I really, like, I told somebody about it, and so I knew that it was going to be, that it was going to happen. And so that's how it started. God called me there, and I continued to have open doors to return to Honduras. I've been there a total of 7 times now since March of 2013, and God continues to open those doors. The next question that people always ask me is the one I hate the most, and it's, "What are you going to do there?" And the reason why I hate it is because I don't really know exactly. And I know that sounds crazy. It feels crazy because I'm the kind of person who likes to have a plan. I'm the kind of person that wants to have it all mapped out. But I know that over the last several years of my life, God has been changing my heart to depend so much on that and to start depending on him. We always say that scripture out of Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." And I love that scripture. But it has a new meaning to me now because I think of it as God saying, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." And he's been speaking to me so clearly, "It is not your job, Tiffany, to make the plan. That is my job. Only I know what I'm doing. Only I know where you're going in this. Your job, Tiffany, is to walk in faith and to walk in obedience." Man, that's hard to do. That's so hard to do. I'm totally fine following a plan, following a roadmap, but to stick my foot out and not know where it's going to land is so hard. But I know I can see from God's scripture. He said the same thing to Abraham. "Leave the home of your mother and father and go to the land I will show you." It required him to step out in faith and obedience, which was his job, and God had a plan, and he carried it out. God is perfectly capable of carrying out his plan without me. And so when people ask me that, I can see some potential opportunities. Like I said, God has opened so many doors already for me there. And I know that what he's called me to do is to know him and to make him known. That's been the call on my life forever. That's been the call on my life in every ministry that he's had me in. That does not change, to know him and to make him known. Now, the thing that changes is the avenue in which he chooses to fulfill that. For the last 3 years, it's been here at this church. 10 years before that, it was at the nonprofit. This next season, he's choosing to send me to Honduras to fulfill that same call of knowing him and making him known. I know that he's gifted me to raise disciples, to equip people for the work of God, to equip people for ministry. And I believe that he's going to use me to be a bridge, to bridge the lost into a relationship with Christ, to bridge people in a relationship with Christ into a discipleship lifestyle, and to bridge them into the calling that God has for them wherever in the world he chooses to take them. Now, I don't know exactly the strategy of how that happens. I have no idea. But all I know is my job is faith and obedience, and what God has asked me to do is sell my house, sell my possessions, and move to San Pedro Sula, Honduras, and so that's what I'm doing. I put my house on the market, and within 30 hours, I had 4 offers way over asking price, closed in 21 days, couldn't believe how God used that to provide for me. He has just confirmed over and over again that this is what he's doing. So now everything I own fits into 5 boxes, plus he provided a car for me to take down there, and my 2 Shih Tzus are coming as well, my security system. And we're doing this thing, and I don't know exactly what I'm going to do there. There's a lot of things God has already used me to do, but I'm just asking that you guys just be praying for me, that as I continue not to seek God's answers, but to seek his heart, that I know that he is going to guide my steps. And the last question that I get all the time is, why are you going, and isn't it hard to do this? Yeah, it's really hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. To leave everything that I've ever known, to step out in faith and do this. But here's the reason why. And I don't even think you guys know this about me, but I have an identical twin. And Audrey's going to put a picture of my twin up. This is my identical twin. I don't know why you're laughing. But this man is inside the Honduran prison. He's a serial murderer. He's caught up in drug addiction. He lives a very violent life. He's living in darkness, living in shame, living in hopelessness. And his life will most likely end very soon because of his violent lifestyle. But the only difference between this man and me is that I have the grace of God through my salvation in Jesus Christ, because without that, I as well am captive. I as well am lost in darkness and hopelessness. I as well deserve death and will probably face it soon. The only difference between my twin and I is the grace of God. And so when people ask me, why are you doing this? This is why. Because he has to know that there is a God that pursues him with the same reckless passion as he pursued me with. He has to know that God has a plan for his life. The other reason why, the next picture, this is a little boy named Ramon. Ramon is in an orphanage that I've been able to spend some time in. And when Ramon first went to the orphanage, they thought he was an infant, but he was actually two. But he was so malnourished that he was really tiny and really behind. Thank you so much. And but with Ramon, like he's four. He was four when I met him. He's four in that picture. The sweetest boy you'll ever see. Just this huge smile. And Ramon's story is that his parents dropped him off at the orphanage because he was about to die because he was so starved. And so the orphanage, you know, they have food and they fed him and got him back up to a normal weight. But because of the malnutrition, he was going to have permanent mental retardation and always have special needs. So when he was healthy again, they called his family and they said, hey, Ramon is healthy again, but he's going to have some special needs. And his family said, well, we're not coming back for him because we don't want to deal with that. And so now Ramon will be in this orphanage, which the orphanages in Honduras are awful. There's no one there that loves them or cares about them. They feed them, and they have a roof over their head, but there's not much more to that. And so I look at this boy, and I think he's the reason why I would go. He's worthy of me spending my life there. He's worthy of the sacrifice, because he was created in the image of God, and God has a future for him, even if his future seems unclear. The majority of the people in the Honduran prisons were at one point in the Honduran orphanage system. Another reason why I'm going, I don't have a picture of this boy, but his name is Andres. And I was in one of the poorest places in San Pedro Sula. And I was playing soccer with some kids, and I see this little boy over on the side with his back to me. And I went over to him, and I noticed that he had a piece of broken glass, and he was cutting his arms. And so I went over, and I sat down, and I took the glass out of his hand. And I was like, buddy, how old are you? And he told me that he was 4 years old. And I couldn't believe that there was somebody so young that was already so desperate and so hopeless that he thought the only way out of that pain was to cut himself with trash. And I remember in that moment, I was like, I don't even know what to say to him about who God is. I don't even know what to say to somebody who's that hopeless at such a young age. And so I said, God, what do I tell him about who you are? And I felt like God said, tell him that he makes me happy. And so I told him, I said, do you know there's a God in heaven who created you and who loves you? He's always thinking about you. And when he thinks about you, he thinks about how happy you make him. These huge tears start to roll down his little face because it was the first time in his life that he had ever heard that somebody loved him and that he made someone happy. He's never made anyone happy. He's a burden on his family. This is why I do this, because God has blessed me not because I deserve it, but to go and to give it out to the people that don't know that they make God happy, to the people who don't know that God is pursuing them. There's a story in the Bible, in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 1. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. This story is so powerful because here's a woman who was a prostitute, that was somebody that was completely rejected by society. She didn't deserve anyone's honor. She didn't deserve anyone's acceptance. But she found that in Jesus Christ. He accepted her. He forgave her. She followed him and served alongside him. And out of her thankfulness, she made this sacrifice. This perfume was worth more than a year's wages. For her to get down on her feet, that's where the servants went, was to wash people's feet. And she gets down to wash his feet, and not just wash him, but to pour out. This was way more perfume than she needed to wash Jesus' feet. But she poured it out, and then she takes down her hair, which in that culture, you didn't do that. That was shameful. That was vulnerable. You didn't let people see you with your hair down. But she takes her hair down, and she wipes off the perfume with her hair. And all the while, the other people there are saying, do you know who this woman is? What is she doing that for? We could have used that money for other things. She's being ridiculed. But she was so thankful for who Jesus had been to her that it didn't matter. She had to make this sacrifice to let him know. But it was more than just her sacrifice. It was her offering to God. She gave up a lot to do that. Her dignity, her expensive perfume. It was a sacrifice, but more than that, it was what she offered to God. And if we're truly following Jesus, he tells us to be my disciple, to follow me. You have to deny yourself. You have to pick up your cross, and you have to follow me. It's going to cost you something. If you're not standing at the edge of a cliff, then you need to follow Jesus a little closer. Because it costs us something to be his disciple. Out of our thankfulness, our response, our action to that, should be an offering of whatever prize, whatever God asks us to do. The smell of the perfume they describe as filling the whole room. I read one commentary that actually said they probably could smell it for blocks. This was her offering that wasn't just affecting her, but the fragrance of it, the sweetness of it, it traveled far, it lingered, it touched other people. I want my life to reflect my thankfulness for who Jesus is. Now, I don't do this to be saved. I don't do this because I have to earn God's grace. No, it's free. I have it. You have it. But out of my thankfulness, I am compelled to give a sacrifice and to give an offering. As Sean comes up to the piano, I have had a lot of doors open for me in Honduras through leading worship. And there's one song in particular that people always ask me to do. And I learned it while I was in Honduras. I didn't really know it before then. And it's a song that actually I even ended up recording in Honduras. And it plays on the radio there. What? I don't know what God is doing. But he's using it. And he's opening doors. And the song talks about this story. It said, let my life be to you like perfume on your feet. Let my life be the perfume poured out on your feet. And I would sing this song saying, God, let this penetrate the hearts of the people. But what was actually happening is it was messing with mine. It was challenging me. And I don't know how many times I've sang this song now. I don't know. But every time I sing it, it's another declaration of God. My only response to your goodness is to lay down and let my life be like perfume to your feet. Again, I'm not perfect. This isn't easy for me. I don't wake up every morning and say like, oh, God, let my life be like perfume to your feet. It's hard. And it is a sacrifice. And not just a sacrifice for me. It's a sacrifice for the people that love me too. But it's my offering to God. And so I want to challenge you guys today to look at your own heart and say, God, do my actions in my life reflect how thankful I am for who you've been to me? Is my life an offering to you to be used for your glory? So as we go through this song, the words will be on the screen. You don't have to worry about singing it, but I just want the words to really allow your heart to reflect on that and to just respond to whatever God might be speaking to you through this song.
Cuando pienso en tu amor y en tu fidelidad, no puedo hacer más que postrarme y adorar. Cuando pienso en cómo he sido, hasta dónde me has traído, asombro de ti. Y no me quiero conformar. He probado y quiero más. No quiero enamorar. Enséñame a amarte y a vivir conforme a tu justicia y tu verdad. Con mi vida quiero adorar, con todo lo que tengo y lo que soy. Todo lo que he sido te lo doy. Que mi vida sea para ti como un perfume a tus pies. Cuando pienso en tu cruz y en todo lo que has dado, tu sangre por mí, por llevar mi pecado. Y cuando pienso en tu mano, hasta aquí hemos llegado, y tu fidelidad. Y no me quiero conformar. He probado y quiero más. No me quiero conformar. Y no me quiero conformar. He probado y quiero más. Yo quiero enamorarme más de ti. Enséñame a amarte y a vivir conforme a tu justicia y tu verdad. Con mi vida quiero adorar, con todo lo que tengo y lo que soy. Todo lo que he sido te lo doy. Que mi vida sea para ti como un perfume a tus pies. Yo quiero enamorarme más de ti. Enséñame a amarte y a vivir conforme a tu justicia y tu verdad. Con mi vida quiero adorar, con todo lo que tengo y lo que soy. Todo lo que he sido te lo doy. Que mi vida sea para ti como un perfume a tus pies. Yo quiero enamorarme más de ti. Enséñame a amarte y a vivir conforme a tu justicia y tu verdad. con mi vida quiero adorar todo lo que tengo y lo que soy, todo lo que he sido te lo doy, que mi vida sea para ti como un perfume a tus pies.
Amen, amen. How we doing? There we go. Can we just one more time show our appreciation for Tiffany? We love you, Tiffany, so much. Yeah, so much. Oh, man. How many guys believe with me that this was the perfect message to wrap up our hashtag thankful attitude of gratitude, huh? It's God's perfect timing for Tiffany. It's perfect timing for us. I love that we're coming out of Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving. And Tiffany, just want to say we love you and we appreciate you so much. Can you tell the congregation how long you've been apart here at North Rock?
I almost 10 years now have been here. And this has been a place where God has really healed my heart. I came in really, really hurt and broken. And I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for all of you guys. I feel your love and support. I really do.
And I'd like to ask that we'd bring up that little diagram, that little napkin, the picture that she received. And I do that for a couple of reasons. One is, as a congregation, there are some things that we support in the world, in the community, right? We do a lot of that. We support a lot of people. There are some things that we sponsor, that we give money to, that we do things, that we pray for continuously. And there are some things that we send. Tiffany is one of those. Tiffany is one of those that we say, as you go and you throw your heart across that cliff, you throw pieces of ours with you. And that I like that picture because it shows that as we send you from this side of the cliff, as we link arms to partner with you spiritually, financially, emotionally, that God is building from the other side. And there are going to be people there to receive you and sponsor you. And how many of you guys like the idea of Tiffany being an international recording artist in Honduras, huh? Huh? Isn't that awesome? She's famous and she's not even there yet. Can you believe that? But here's what I want to say is two things. One, we believe that God is going before you, that he's going to be your rear guard, he's going to be your front guard, he's going to protect you, he's going to provide for you, and he's going to partner with what he's already doing in Honduras. So what's the population in the city that you're going to right now?
The city is about 2 million.
Okay, 2 million people. 2 million people, that song is being broadcasted all around through there. That's good. And here's the thing that I feel like I need to respond to today is this. Is believe that God is orchestrating this, that it's God's perfect timing, that we're building from both sides. But more importantly, the opposite of what that guard said, if you go in there, I'm not coming in after you. I'd like to stand here and say, as your pastor, as the sending church, if you go in there, you're not going alone. We'll come in after you. We'll be there to support you. We're going to be there to walk with you. But most importantly, we know that God has sent you. How many trips did you take there last year?
Seven.
You know how you're called is that God keeps building up in the ante, right? And I love the way that her message illustrated that for us. Not all of us are called to go to Honduras, especially long term, but we're all called somewhere, right? We're all called to steward the message of Christ, whether it's in our family, our schools, our neighborhood, our place of employment. But as you go and do that, the opposite of what the guard said, I say to you. So we're praying for you. We're giving to you. This is from Jody and I. We just want to bless you. And then I would like to ask the congregation as we wrap up our service here just to extend your hands towards Tiffany. And by doing that, all we're saying is, God, we believe in the work that you're doing in her life. We believe that you have greater purposes than she's ever even seen awaiting her in Honduras. And so, Father God, we do take a moment, Lord, and as we know that we don't go anywhere by accident, Lord, that these desires that have welled up in her heart, that have overtaken her, who, as she said, has shifted and turned her heart, Lord, of you. And so, Lord, we thank you for her passion. Lord, we thank you for her commitment. Lord, we thank you for the offering of her life. Lord, we thank you for how well she's served us here the last 3 years. And so, Lord, at this time, as a congregation, we release her from her assignment here in Thornton. But, Lord, we partner our arms. We link arms with her in Honduras. Father, we thank you for the millions of lives that are going to be impacted because she chose to obey you. Lord, we thank you for the hundreds of people that will go from just a conversion experience to a discipleship experience where they learn to walk out their faith the way Tiffany does. And so, Lord, we thank you that because of our commitment to you, because of your work in us, we can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ever hope or ask for. That's my prayer for Tiffany, Lord, that you would provide for her abundantly. Lord, that you would cause her to walk in lockstep with you through this season and into the future. Lord, we pray that through her ministry, orphanages would be raised up that show the love of Christ. Father, we thank you that you'll give her favor, that you'll give her help and resources and partnerships as she goes from here to there. And Lord, we thank you that the why to everything that we do, whether it's starting a church in Westminster or Erie, Colorado, or Commerce City, or Honduras, Lord, all around the world, is because your name is to be made great. That the cause of Christ compels us to send out our very best. Lord, we thank you that the church was never, ever intended to be a warehousing unit, but rather, Lord, a distribution center of people that would say, I'm going to go all in, I'm going to go big, or I'm going to go home. And so, Lord, we thank you for the way that she embodies that value, the value of this church. And, Lord, we pray that you would continue to meet her in the needs and that she would learn to live abased and abound in Honduras. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.